Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live in Oxnard. Our Cowboys training camp coverage continues. And salute once again to our sponsors, the On-Time Experts, Rhino Shield and Yardbird, Southern Table and Bar. We got more sports coming up here. We got around the bases here in just a second, getting you everything you need to know about your Texas Rangers. Pre-game coming up tonight, 8:30. But Stephen Jones told us Nate Thomas with the ones, you know, while Tyler Guyton is out. I imagine that could be week one, week two. Been a lot of talk about Awesome Richards and Adeniji. But Stephen told us it's looking like Nate Thomas with the ones. And then Deron Bland, it seemed like the way Stephen answered your question, Woolchuck, that Deron Bland is close. He had a big old smile on his face. But, you know, obviously at the end of the day, they don't talk about contracts, you know, while they're in the process of being negotiated. But our training camp update brought to you by a Tree Line by Hillwood, a stunning new master plan community in Justin, Texas. What did you think about what Stephen had to say earlier?
I'm going to be real honest. I didn't have that one on my bingo card. I didn't have Thomas as the starter at left tackle.
I've watched
every practice we've had. I've watched six practices that we've had here. And I would have not – there's sometimes where you think like that maybe you ask Jerry about a player and he'll just say a guy's name. And you're kind of thinking like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The name that came to mind.
I did not have Thomas as the starter at left tackle.
Shoddy told us like last week that he had been impressive, and then when you look in his profile, he's like, okay, is he a tackle? Is he a guard?
What's funny was the first time he's traditionally been a guard is what he's been. When he came out of Louisiana and then the Cowboys, and then he got hurt, and then we didn't see him for the whole year. And so I was kind of like thinking, okay, this ought to be interesting. Well, I thought they would play him at guard, but when we got to the OTA or the mini camp practice, the one I got to watch, he was playing right tackle. He was the back. He was the second right tackle. So now, okay, here we are, and they move him from the right side to the left side, and I'm thinking, and I have not seen it to where I was going, boy, he looks like a dominant player, and maybe I'm missing something. I mean, I need to call Vach Lombardi because Vach was watching these guys, and I don't ever remember doing a show where he was talking about Nate Thomas as being that kind of guy. There's always guys he was talking about, but I don't remember seeing Nate Thomas as a guy that I would say, wow, that's going to be my left tackle going forward here for the next 4 to 6 weeks. That's the case.
I mean, the athleticism, and maybe that's something that as football has progressed, like we talked about the arm length and stuff.
Well,
like you think about your better athlete playing on the left side versus the right. I thought that he would just projected more as a right tackle.
I know one thing. When I was down there watching the offensive linemen probably three practices ago, that Clayton Adams was pulling him aside. Clayton wasn't coaching the offensive line. You know, it was Connor Riley was coaching the line, and Clayton was staying back, and he was kind of like grabbing guys individually and talking about steps and stuff. Mm. And that's the one time that I did notice him talking about Tom or talking to Thomas. But man, you could have blown me away with what Stephen Jones said about that. I guess what happens the next couple of days. You get to see this guy play left tackle, and he's going to get the opportunity again to go against Ezeraku and Fowler and guys like that. And boy, I hope the best for him. But I just did not see that one coming.
This is a seventh rounder last year, knee tendonitis.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at his draft profile, strong and big.
Big guy.
Yeah. That's the thing. And if you guys keep talking, I can pull up.
I mean, I imagine
draft.
Like they're thinking this is the guy to go to in the run game. This guy's going to make us powerful and strong in the run game, and we'll try to mitigate with help his pass protection issues.
Well, like I thought they might have stolen one there in that seventh round, but I was also thinking you're either kicking him inside the guard or you're playing him at right tackle was kind of the projection that I had for him. But he was very good at Louisiana in the run game. I mean, he does fit kind of that mauler that we're talking about with that inside. I just wondered, like, one of the plays that I do remember from practice yesterday specifically was he was slow out of his stance, and Ezeraku was able to go and get what probably would have been a sack on Dak. So I think some of it's just the speed with his feet. You know, and that on the left side, I just always profiled. That's why, and Awesome Richards having played pretty well in the games that he had to play last year. But maybe this is Clayton Adams saying, hey, I see something in this guy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Broadus, so you have something to add to that
if you could keep going, I got to find my
notes. Let's circle back around here in about 5 minutes because it's time for a proper round tripper talking Rangers baseball. Pregame coming up at 8:30, Wooly Bully.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz right now at the trade deadline. So the Rangers have been engaging with the Rockies about a trio of relievers ahead of the deadline per Evan Grant of the Morning News. They've also been aggressive, according to Buster Olney. They've been linked to Pittsburgh's David Bednar and Ryan Helsley of the St. Louis Cardinals, both of whom are former All-Star closers. With the Rockies, according to two evaluators, they've got a trio of relievers that are available. Closer Jake Bird, who we talked about yesterday, Tyler Kinley, and Victor Vodnik are all readily available, and the Rangers have talked to the Rockies about all of those players. Bird, at 29 years old, 1.41 ERA, as recently as June 10th, he holds the most interest for the Rangers, and he is pre-arbitration eligible. He would be under team control for 3 additional years, which I'm sure really excites Chris Young. And he also averages more than a strikeout per inning and has the best strikeout-to-walk rate of those 3 in Colorado. Key metric, Rangers less than $300,000 in salary this year. They're able to add him to the payroll because he is super, super cheap. So that's an interesting player, and I like the control there. So Jake Bird from Colorado. I'd also monitor Helsley with St. Louis, and then we'll see what ends up happening with Bednar in Pittsburgh. But he sounds like he's going to be the most expensive of the bunch.
Yeah, and again, I don't think the Rangers need to do anything. You know, I do believe, though, this is going to be Bochy's last season. And I feel like, you know, we're going to push all of our chips in and give ourselves as good of a chance as possible. And the reason for that is, as much as their offense has struggled, like, you're not going to be able to find 3 better pitchers anywhere in the history. Maybe the Diamondbacks with Schilling and Maddux. Schilling and Randy Johnson. You know, maybe
for a playoff series.
Maybe the Atlanta Braves with Smoltz, Glavin, Maddux. Like, I'm sure the Yankees have put up a team, but I mean, right now with the 1.5 ERA, a 2.5 ERA, and then Mally in the twos as well. Numbers wise, it's like you have 3 Pedro Martinez's getting ready for a postseason run. And how could you leave anything to chance? How could you not try to take advantage of this? You know, I have felt with full conviction Ray will not go into that taxpayer threshold. But when you start to look at how great the opportunity is and how good this offense is, like, you lose last night, but the offense was there. And if it had been anybody but Jock Peterson in those 2 at-bats, I bet they come back and win that game.
Right. And they also reached out to Tampa Bay about Pete Fairbanks, who I'm very interested in a reunion there. Rangers did draft him back in 2015, then they traded him in that Nick Solak move with the Rays. But that's another reliever that the Rangers could have some interest in. Washington's Kyle Finnegan is another one, and then the Angels, who just actually made a move. So Kenley Jansen, I don't think available anymore there. But I love the idea of possibly Pete Fairbanks. Maybe they look for more than one. Maybe they're looking like a setup and a closer type of guy to really just go ahead and reestablish this bullpen. So it's a strength because they're going to have to win with pitching.
Yeah, they are going to have to win with pitching. But I would say one reliever and another bat. You know, right now,
yeah, there's just no buzz right now about any bats, and Jock Peterson not in the lineup tonight for the Rangers, and they're going to have to make a decision here pretty soon on Jock. Like, is this just, hey, it's woes, it's rust,
DFA?
Is this, you know, yes, because you can, I mean, you're not. If he's not going to be a net negative for you in the lineup, you're now in a position where they're not even going to move Evaldi's start. I saw Boach talking about this. There was a conversation about, do you move Evo to the first from Wednesday to Thursday for the first game against Seattle to give you a better chance maybe to win that one? Well, they don't want to do that because they're looking at every single game now is a game that they need to have. So he's supposed to end the series against the Angels on Wednesday. If they wanted to move him, then you've got to have John Gray or Jacob Latz make a spot start. And in theory, like, that's fine. Both those guys, I think, are very capable of doing it.
Yeah.
But they're also now in a stretch without a day off to where what does that then do to your bullpen? And without knowing exactly what you're going to get here at the deadline, Boach just doesn't want to mess around with that. And I I understand what he's thinking there. So they're going to just keep everything the same. But they are clearly in this mindset now where every single night, it doesn't matter who you're playing, we've got to find a way to get a win here with how tight this race is. And Jock Peterson, they don't have time to waste anymore to let him get going. If you're not going to hit, dude, you're not going to be on the team.
No, I'm thinking like simulated games against recovering pitchers. Maybe you don't want to go to the minor leagues, but I can't afford at-bats. Right now, as soon as Higashioka is back, I'm not making any room for Jock Peterson.
And he's back in the lineup tonight.
Is he?
Yeah, Higgy is.
Let's go.
And I'm trying to figure out, I guess they're just giving Seager an off day. Like, you just talked about how important every game is right now, and not to have Seager in the lineup is a little bit,
yeah,
like,
it is.
What the heck, bro?
And I would bet that, you know, with Corey, because you got Josh Smith playing short, he's pinch hit. I mean, if you need him too late in the game, he definitely is a guy. But yeah, without the day off, you want to try and sustain his health and keep him fresh. But, you know, Patrick Corbin, they did a good job hitting Yusei Kikuchi back in Arlington when they played previously. Hopefully they can get to him early on again. But, man, this is going to be crazy here at the deadline. I mean, there's so many rumors going on. Heck, I think it was the Orioles and the Blue Jays just played a doubleheader today. They made a trade. And the Orioles had a reliever that literally just walked over to the Blue Jays clubhouse because they're playing each other. I've never seen anything like this.
In between games, right?
Yeah, Sir Anthony Dominguez. Yeah, so he goes from the O's locker room over to the Rays. I mean, just absolute craziness, dude.
Well, a lot of moves expected here over the next 48 hours, and before too long, CY is going to strike. Does that do it for a proper round trip, or Wolchuk?
Yeah. Okay. And just one piece of headline news here. We do have information regarding Hendrickson and the Bengals. He's ending that holdout.
Okay. So yeah, just a matter of time.
That's one guy. But yeah, Rangers all done.
And thanks again to Sam Haggerty for joining us. That happened at 4:20, I believe. No, it happened right at the top at 5. That's
right.
He
some stuff around.
He joined us at 5 o'clock. If you want to go back and listen, with the Odyssey app, brought to you by Globe Life for over 125 years. Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. What are you learning about this Cowboy left tackle while Guyton is out, Brian?
Yeah, I tell you what, though. To me, like, the notes were all talking about him being kind of an inside player. Like, this, the little bit of the more the power, more of the, really wasn't anything that athletic part of it, was a big guy, but wasn't anything that led me to believe, okay, left tackle type of a player here. So this is going to be one of those that I think this might be the coaches. I think the offensive line coach might be the ones pushing this, and let's see if the kid can get it done.
It's Nate Thomas. Stephen Jones was on with us a couple of hours ago and said that's going to be the guy until Guyton returns. Okay, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Been another big day of sports news, and we're having a fun time chatting about it with you, but we're going to hand this thing off coming up at 7 o'clock to The Fan After Dark, and if you haven't listened to Fred and Blake, they are a hoot, and can't wait to cross with them here coming up in about 30 minutes. But what are we doing next, Chief?
Sports Hodge Podge. We'll hear from Luka Doncic and Jimmy Johnson next here in the Nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We're live on the tennis courts here. It's the G-Bag Nation and The Fan. Segment's brought to you by the on-time experts, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's time now for the Chief and the Sports Hodgepodge. Here he is.
Yes, sir. Got plenty to get to. We'll start with some sound from Jimmy Johnson, who was on radio in Miami today. And shout out to Trevor Harris, who works at our sister station in Miami, and sent me over a couple of Jimmy clips. We'll start with Jimmy talking about Jerry and his propensity to want to get into the headlines, and he's talking about an interaction that they had. Remember when they were in Carolina, right, when they announced that Jimmy was going to be
Ring of Honor,
doing the Ring of Honor thing? So here's Jimmy talking about that.
Before I went in the Ring of Honor, I went to the North, the Carolina game. And I was sitting up in the box with Jerry and Will McClay and Steven and all of them. And about that time, you know, Jerry was having a bunch of headlines about, different paternity suits. and he looked at me, and he had a little smile. And Gene, you know, his wife, you know, of course, we've known each other, you know, when they were dating back in college. And, you know, Jerry had that little smile, a little grin. He said, you know what? I always find a way to keep the Cowboys in headlines.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Goodness gracious, man. All pub is good pub.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It goes back to your,
yes, that your question thoughts earlier on, today, right?
On the way they negotiate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, it is the genius of Jerry. I don't think he's playing coy there. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing at all times. He is a media mastermind.
What's the 10% you think you had right on your question?
I was wondering the same thing.
That Micah thought a deal was getting done.
Okay. That's the 10% you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Steven Clips picking up steam right now.
Is it?
Sure is.
On the, a lot of fun.
On the interwebs.
Man, Jimmy sounded more like Pat Summerall in there. His voice dropped like three octaves.
It didn't sound like him.
I'm glad y'all said that, because when it got sent over to me, I had to listen to it a couple of times and be like, okay, I guess this is Jimmy. He just doesn't quite sound like the usual Jimmy that we're...
Maybe a little allergy,
higher pitch.
Yeah, high pitched.
You know, I don't know. Maybe there's some allergies in the air. I know what's going around in Oxnard. CeeDee Lamb sounded about two octaves lower the other day. So maybe it's just, you know, a little something going around.
He's in retirement mode.
Yeah, yeah. That was really deep. I was waiting for him to say star power. You know, like Summerall.
Well, let's hear the next one. We'll see if the voice sounds similar. This is Jimmy talking about building a culture, and obviously with Shoddy here, year one, he's trying to lay the foundation. And this is Jimmy's thoughts on how to build a championship culture.
By working hard and being physical, they overcome so many things. And I never worried about our teams, you know, having the culture, because we worked them so hard, you know, that they had the will to win on the weekends, you know, whether or not it be in college or in professional football. That's how you build culture, is hard work and being a physical football team. Those teams, you know, they don't have to worry about some of these petty things.
So that was this morning. I think it's maybe combination morning voice, maybe some stogies on the fishing boat last night. You know,
couple just one too many.
Maybe
land sharks.
Always possible with him.
Heineken.
Get set.
Oh, dude, that's seriously,
that's very similar.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Strong. Okay, so as far as the culture and the working hard, I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. Jimmy was more of a disciplinarian / psychologist. I think the key here is being genuine to who you are, and I think Shoddy is doing exactly that.
I kind of feel like, to me, that when these old coaches say things like the hard work and all that, I think it's just damn good players.
Yeah.
I think that, to me, honestly, there's a reason why some of the teams that win Super Bowls and national champions, that their players are just better, you know? And I think a lot of these coaches talk about hard work and it's and all that, but if your players are just better, I think
that'll do the trick.
I just think that, like, Jimmy Johnson has made a career out of having the best. When he was at Oklahoma State, he didn't have the best players, but he got to Miami, he had the best players. When he came to the Cowboys, he developed a team that had the best players. When he went to the Dolphins, he didn't have a team that had the best players, so he was kind of just Jimmy Johnson, just a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of these coaches, like, they want to talk about, and the hard work and stuff, don't get me wrong, I think a lot of this in sports is having the best players.
Yeah,
I think a lot of this comes down to that. I really do.
You have the best players, you're going to win, and then it's hard to have a bad culture.
like you say, it's, you know, the players kind of police. They had Jimmy's players with Michael Irvin, all that, these guys were all over the place. I mean, the Cowboy Cafe, I mean, stories. Nate Newton, you know, everybody tell you some stories about these guys. But when it came to playing on the field, they were better than us in Green Bay. We had a good team in Green Bay, but they were better than us, you know. And we thought we had good coaches, but we worked hard. But we had they had better players for all those years.
I think it can be a difference maker, you know, because you're going to be more confident and you're going to maybe dig a little bit deeper to fight harder for guys that you love. But I don't think, you know, it's that big of a difference. Like, you can have, you know, a great winning culture, but the operative emotion is fear, right? The fear of losing my job, or fear of ticking off a Troy Aikman or a Michael Irvin or one of the team leaders. But you got to get, like, the players to be motivated by a factor, right? And maybe it's love, you know, but this is Star Wars right here. You know, are you going to do it with the power of the Force, or are you going to tap into the dark side? And the dark side is incredibly powerful too.
I don't think Jimmy Johnson could coach this team and have the success that success.
No,
I wonder if Jimmy Johnson could coach. How about the Cincinnati Bengals? They have some talent, you know. I mean,
I think what worked for Jimmy, like with the new rules, that'd be interesting. I don't think he could coach them anymore the way that he would want to.
I watched at St. Ed's in Austin. I watched 2-a-day practices that were some of the most brutal practices I've ever seen a football team go through. But every one of those guys out there were like future Hall of Fame players.
Yeah, he'd probably have a better chance being like a general manager now because he clearly was a tremendous talent evaluator.
Yeah. But, well, he did it in Miami, though, and Eric could tell you his dad and him were probably not too happy about the Jimmy Johnson administration running that team in Miami, right? Once he figured out he didn't have the players,
yeah,
here we go. I'm out of here.
Yeah, we're good here.
I'm good.
I mean, Phil Jackson never won a single NBA championship without having best players.
To me, Phil Jackson, and nothing against the triangle offense and Tex Winter and all that stuff. What did Phil Jackson say to the team, you know, every day at the Bulls? Hey, plane leaves at 7. If anybody needs a ride, happy to come get you.
Yeah.
You know, how are you coaching those guys?
Now pass that thing.
Yeah.
Go visualize making free throws.
Yeah, you're rolling the ball out there, you know, and just kind of – I think that we make a way, way too much of all this stuff. I really do. I think it's
funny. Like, Belichick never did anything until he got to the Patriots and got Tom Brady, and then got Tom Brady to take a 50% pay cut. So he had a dynasty. I think there's a ton to it. You know, when you go to a college guy who's more about building a program, he's got to recruit. Yeah. I'm more apt to give the college coaches the credit for the championships than I am a pro coach.
Saban at Michigan State was a good coach. Saban at Alabama, they built statues after.
Pretty good at LSU, too.
They won a national championship at LSU. Great coaching staff, you know, but his players were just better. His players at Alabama were just – Kirby Smart, good coach. His players are really good. Really good. Now, that coach at Indiana last year,
Signetti,
maybe the players not good enough. And that's why people now are thinking that might be a one and done. That might be a one and done kind of a thing. So anyway.
Oh, for Indiana?
What's up, Red?
What up, Red?
Google him. Oh, wow. Look at that. Ooh,
just Google
getting
me.
Choked up when I see Red. Man, I get a little emotional. Right? Gosh dang it. Look at that mustache. What do we call that? What do we call that mustache? It's not a Fu Man,
it's a
right?
Lick ferret.
Is there a name?
It looks like there used to be a pitcher named Goose Gossage that used to pitch for the Yankees back in the day.
That's a gunslinger mustache right there.
That's Yosemite Sam. Yosemite Sam, maybe?
Yeah, a little Yosemite.
Yeah. Red, we're talking about you on the radio. Hope everybody in Dallas knows about you right now.
Red's an absolute legend when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys in Oxnard, California. I know he's got the G-Bag flag hanging right there in his bunker.
He's got two of them. He's got the brand new one. Nice. I made sure the new one got
there
to him.
Go. Get that lip ferret on the fan cam. Look at that thing, man. That's 10 out of 10 stuff right there. All right, so yesterday we had the Christian Wilkins fiasco, right?
Yeah.
And today, players took the podium.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
One guy, Adam Butler, was asked about it.
Adam Butler?
There.
Why is Butt in his name?
Show me where he tried to kiss you, Adam.
Yeah. Whose forehead was it, Adam? Quote, if you got something going on in life, talk to somebody. Don't make any hasty decisions. Get help.
Get help.
Okay. That's the response from one of his teammates.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if this is CTE, but it sounds like there's mental health, you know, involved here. It's crazy. You know, I do want to say once again, like, there's part of this, unfortunately, in young people's sports culture, like number 11, Penn State, sophomore year. You know, and I don't know, this isn't hazing, you know, it's S assault, you know, it really is.
Yeah.
And, and unfortunately players and, you know, people that weren't as good or weren't the bullies in the locker room have had to put up with it for a long, long time. But I think we're in a great place that the Raiders let him go. I hope it sends a message around the league because it's gross. It's criminal. Really? It's horrible.
Yeah. No question, dude. Speaking of fingers.
I knew you were going to do this. Raleigh?
Good segue, Eric.
I got a couple of finger stories for you.
Okay.
We're going to start.
JPP?
We're going to keep it in football.
My freshman English teacher at Point Loma was named Mr. Finger, and we could not stop cracking up.
Oh, my gosh, man. It's pretty amazing.
Mr. Hand.
The Panthers signed rookie undrafted free agent outside linebacker out of Kentucky. J.J. Weaver, the six finger. Man.
Oh, he's got a little, is that Alfonseca?
11 finger man, because he's got six
on one hand.
On the right hand.
And then five on the other one.
It's going to be five on the other one.
Is it in between the thumb and the index finger?
No, it's between the ring and the pinky.
Could that be an advantage?
It's like he's got two pinkies, basically.
Okay,
no advantage. Is what we're talking about.
No advantage.
What do you mean, bro? The pinky is vital. That's a bookend.
Is it workable? I mean, some people have six fingers and there's like an extra full finger, and some just have this little nub coming off that maybe should be clipped. It's like a skin tag.
Kind of a hanger.
Yeah.
I would think that maybe something coming from the between the index finger and the thumb would be a little bit more of an advantage for Grippy.
In terms of like grabbing the football, interceptions, because he plays linebacker, you know? So
tackling.
It's like a I think if I had to choose, I'd take a second thumb out there. You know, could you imagine? The work that you can do.
Like,
yeah, double thumbs.
Like a thumb on the pinky side?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you have two thumbs.
Yeah. Get all that meat going on in there.
Paradis is doing the double thumb look right now on the fan cam.
We're all George Pickens now, baby.
Just look up.
Yeah, I mean, they made like a special six-finger glove form and everything.
I lost that thing, by the way.
Let me see this finger, Chief.
Okay.
Take a look at that finger.
Yeah, here's the...
Is it alive? Is it alive?
I think it's a workable. It's a pretty workable finger here. Yeah, it is.
How do you know?
Is he moving it? Well, yeah. It seems it doesn't look.
Get the thumb out of here.
It doesn't look like the type of finger that has no use. It looks like one of those fingers. There you go, Dawson.
Oh yes,
see what I'm saying?
There's webbing in between those.
See,
it's an extra pinky.
His palm is even bigger. He's got to be. He has to have a one-handed interception in his career for sure.
Heck yeah. No, that's legit. That's a legit six-fingered man.
Yeah, they make special gloves.
Where's he? Where's he go to school?
It was at Nike. Well, he was at Kentucky. Now he's hashtag keep pounding in Carolina with the Panthers.
Oh
yeah, they picked him up. That's why it's headline news.
Oh.
So
give him a hand.
You kind of wish Jaden Blue had an extra finger, right? That could maybe help.
Yeah,
tote the rock a little bit.
Although Broadus is noticing, he's hanging on for dear life with that thing, isn't he? Now,
yeah, he's glad that everybody else is fumbling other than him. Williams and those guys, like Leofel, kind of runs in there, punches the ball out of Williams' hand like every practice, and like you know, we're all kind of like we're forgetting that this guy is. Fumble prone.
We're forgetting about fumble prone. Yeah, we're forgetting about Maffa maybe a little bit as well. Is he a forgotten man? Shoddy brought him up yesterday, saying he's starting to feel Maffa. Well,
after
and he said, "I'm starting to feel him."
Well, after Nate Thomas starting at left tackle tomorrow, I'm kind of thinking that Maffa is going to be the starting running back.
Just brute, just power, size is all we care about.
I have not got one right yet. I guess I don't know.
Well, speaking of fingers.
You were on fire last night at this exact time, Brian.
I tried.
Yeah, man. Seriously, kudos to you.
That's working in an organization for 14 years. I'll do that for you.
So, did you guys see? I know Walchuk did.
Did I?
I would like to welcome Lucius into this as well. See if he saw it.
Oh no!
Did you guys see?
What's he thought? Seal
the Phillies. The Phillies fan.
Dirt Diggler.
Oh,
unbelievable, bro.
Yeah, bro.
They're at Yankee Stadium. Looks like you got a Phillies boyfriend hanging out with his Yankees girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Was it very similar to what we had happen at the at Toronto with the two people up in the stands?
It was
a little bit more
in the same neighborhood.
A little bit more handsy.
Oh.
It's like an Urban Meyer kind of situation.
But he was cool, bro. My man kept his head forward, and he had her legs shaking.
Yeah,
he's doing a good job.
He was eating a hot dog, bro, with one hand, and the other hand, he was yakka-da-yakka-da-yakka-da.
We should start there. My guy was putting on a clinic. There's no question about it, but I just can't help but think, like, I was just thinking in my mind, I'm like, ballpark fingers, bro?
Yeah,
ballpark fingers, bro.
The railing and everything you've been using to get up there, way up there to those snowbleed seats.
I mean, dude, you are in Yankee Stadium, just filth galore. And yes, the hand railings, even just like your own chair, all the different things. He may have dropped some, had to pick it up off the floor.
He might have took half his beer and poured it on his hand beforehand.
Either way, he sterilized himself.
Either way, he's got to respect his lady a little bit more. He's about to give her a urinary tract infection.
Right?
Facts, bro.
People were filming him? We got to film this on film?
Yeah, just like a reverse angle.
I don't have internet in my room, so I couldn't know that.
Yeah, like about two rows back, they're basically they got an angle from about 5 o'clock on this whole situation, and
he was holding his water, but she was, I mean, Kat was out of the bag.
You're either like one of those exhibitionists, you know, that this is extra, right? It's not the same unless it's in front of people, which is just a crazy whole deal by itself, or hammered, you know, and just not realizing how obvious it is.
I think the exhibitionist part is probably true.
Yeah.
Probably something that
some people are really into that.
No, some people
are. It's criminal. Yeah. It's criminal right there. Yeah, it's a family environment.
Yeah, no, it's
you can,
it's,
you should
wait
be,
a minute,
you
should be on. I had a lady breastfeed a baby right next to me one time, just didn't even care.
That's science, bro. That's natural.
Yeah, we need that to happen.
Yeah,
well, it's science that we have to kind of feel this way, right?
It's very nutritious.
You don't
but
need to go out of your way to, you know.
Yeah, so that was a crazy finger story. Now, let's keep it at Yankee Stadium. We go into the booth with Michael Kay and one Luka Doncic. And Luka now gracing the cover of Men's Health magazine.
Is that
which
really
is
him?
As shocking as anything. Like, if I just told you, Luka, cover of Men's Health, you'd be like, that's one of the greatest parody skits of all time.
So what not to do?
See that?
What not to do? Or something? Yeah. Don't be this man.
Yeah. You're never totally worthless. You could serve as a bad example.
Are you 26 and doughy? You pathetic loser.
Well, Luka was at Yankee Stadium, and they asked him about that cover and the Mavericks and that whole deal.
After that deal was made, the Mavericks got a lot of criticism regarding it. And then they start to leak out stuff. Well, we don't know if he's ever going to be in shape. You should mail him a copy of the Men's Health magazine.
They probably saw it, so I don't have to worry about that.
So he's eating gluten-free so that Nico Harrison can eat his own words. That's basically where he's at. And, he's going to be proud about it.
Yeah, Nico's turned his career around.
Yeah,
Luka, well, he's got him. He gave him the wake-up call.
Turned his life around, if you ask me.
I think he still has DeMont somehow brainwashed or compromised. I give it 2 more years before Patrick has made enough friends around the league that somebody will be like, hey, bro, we've been laughing about you for a couple of years now, but you're welcome to the club.
I'm going to one year.
1 more year.
1 year.
They did have, in the Men's Health story, they alleged that Luka had a 42-inch vertical at the combine.
Yeah, they got butt cracked.
The same combine.
42-inch waist.
It's the same combine that Luka did not attend when entering the draft. He was literally not even there. But Luka did not correct him when they brought it up. He's kind of rolled with it, man. He's hell yeah. Could go even higher than that.
It's kind
of
me interviewing George Pickens, just kind of glazing him up.
Yeah. So there it is, man. Luka on the cover and rubbing it in the Mavs' face.
He did that typical relationship thing, is where you beg your girl or husband or whatever to get in the gym and read and do better things for yourself. And they never do it. But then you break up with them. And then you look down that timeline, and you're like, well, I'll be damned. She done got her life together.
Yeah.
She done lost all that weight. She's reading now. She's cleaning up after herself. Damn. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see.
Make an announcement here, Lucian.
Can Luka.
I said that to say.
With that being said.
Just catch her 6 months later after she's moved in with her new man and she's back to her old habits. It'll be interesting to see if he can hold this. I wouldn't bet for it, but I mean, Jokic has done better since he was body shamed in his mid 20s, so why not?
Problem is, you get the NBA season right around Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
That can really throw you off course.
And there's no more Michael Finley to take your cold beers away. So we shall see. Okay, it's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Rangers pregame coming up at 8:30. We'll cross with The Fan after dark. See what Fred and Blake have cooking for you next to The Nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Training camp day 2 wrapping up here for us. Suppose it's day 7, day 9 for Broadus. Been here since last week. It's time now to crosstalk here with The Fan after dark. See what they have cooking. Before we get there, did want to say, you know, last night of this time, if this is when you jump into your car, we were talking about the possibility of Tyler Guyton being out for the year with a torn ACL. Brian was saying, hold the phone. There's no confirmation yet. So what was going on behind the scenes? We talked with Stephen Jones earlier and said, Dr. Cooper does not miss many.
Doesn't miss many.
But said when he was smiling ear to ear when he got to call the Cowboys and say, hey, this is not a torn ACL.
Yeah.
So I guess the broken bone in the foot gave the initial feeling of, wow, something's destabilized in here.
Yeah.
Kind of probably a torn ACL. And, you know, the Cowboys really got lucky, or, you know, I guess, you know, the durability of Guyton's ACL paid off yesterday.
Yeah, they even admitted it. I talked to somebody in the organization, and after they gave me the diagnosis, I said, man, that is great news. And he says, we got extremely lucky.
Wow.
And so, hey, you know, sometimes the football gods smile on you a little bit. And that one was a case. You know, you don't want to lose a kid like that who had such a rough year, was making progress. Yeah, he's going to miss some time out here, but man, missing the whole season, that, you know, think about 2 years of him really not playing.
Brutal.
And then how bad that would be. So
yeah, it's the best like 4 to 6 weeks out report I've ever heard.
There's a chance that he might play opening day. I mean, that's kind of what they were talking about. So hopefully that's the case, you know.
All right, Fred and Blake, Fan After Dark coming up next. Gentlemen, how we doing tonight?
Doing phenomenal. Do want to give a huge amount of credit to you guys, because that interview with Stephen Jones, one of the best I've ever heard. That's why we get the best in the business here on 105.3 The Fan. If you missed that interview, go back on Odyssey app and go back and listen. I've already listened back twice. Great hard-nosed questions. I love Gavin starting it off. Yeah. Back to back to back. Like Fred said, I thought we were listening to 60 Minutes at first. I didn't know if your other teammates were there.
He warned us. Gavin warned us he was about to do that. We knew that going in. We just shut up and let
him
roll.
Very Frost v. Nixon style. I mean, it was
early 70s. Yeah.
My man went in, and I knew you David two. Frost, I knew you two would appreciate that. Did Steve kind of a little Freudian slip there when he said that the doctor told him, he said, I got it wrong. And so we're thinking, all right, so how soon whoever was out there leaked it to Rappaport, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a niche, and again.
That is very much like these guys, and I give them credit, the guys and gals, the information people.
Yeah.
They've got lines to players. They've got lines to agents.
Right.
And they immediately used place a call to the agent. The agent said, I just talked to my guy, and they're thinking it's an ACL. They're going to do the MRI. And sometimes you jump this thing, and they jumped it. And when you jump something like that, you know, I've always had guys tell me, hey, we don't have the MRI back yet.
Right.
And when I reached out to my people, they're like, when he told me they didn't have the MRI back yet of the results, I said there's a possibility that this thing might, you know, we'll see. You know, it might, but Stephen's right. Dr. Cooper does not miss many of those. And so, hey, you know, good for the Cowboys. But, yeah, these agents have a direct line to a lot of them to players and a lot of them to the agents around the league, too.
Makes sense.
I mean, just incredible that he's not out for the year. And now the Cowboys' path to having a good year, which is Guyton being significantly better than last year, still in play. What are you guys doing tonight?
Look, we're going to play back some of the cuts from you and Stephen Jones back and forth. And like I said, and like you said, kudos to Stephen for not backing down and you two having a respectable back and forth, which, you know, good work by that. And then, of course, Kyrie back. Conspiracy Kyrie is back, and I couldn't be happier.
I love it. Here they come, Fred and Blake, the Fan After Dark, 7 to 11 every weeknight when there's no, well, I guess you're getting 7 to 8:30 here this evening. Then Rangers baseball coming up as they take on the Angels. Back tomorrow, the Cowboys are going to be back to practicing, so we'll have 3 live mics at about 2:30 tomorrow afternoon, and then Krusty's Corner at 3:40, recapping everything. For Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup Master Control, Ruben Portillo and Tim Collins, remote engineering, Wolchuk, Chiafalo, and Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. You're going home with the nation. At ease.